Sahoda Ashwalaha Upararama, the chief priest who put all these questions, the principal priest of the sacrifice performed by Janaka in his court, was defeated in the argument. Because every question which was so difficult, of course, to answer, it is not easy to make out the meaning of these questions. But Yajnavalkya understood every one of them and he gave an immediate answer at the very spot, without any hesitation whatsoever. Ashwala kept quiet. But if Ashwala, the priest, keeps quiet, others do not keep quiet. Another got up. You answer my questions. I have also got questions because you carried away my cows. Athahainam jaratkarava artabhaga paprachya. The another great sage was sitting there, who he was the descendant of Jaratkaru, and his name was Artabhaga. Artabhaga puts the question. Yajnavalkya, I put you these questions. Kati graha, kati atigraha. How many grahas are there? How many atigrahas are there? Even the word is unintelligible. We can't make out what it means. What do you mean by graha and atigraha? He simply puts a question. You tell us how many grahas are there, how many atigrahas are there. Yajnavalkya is not in any way deterred by these fantastic questions. He knows the answers to all these. Ashtagraha, ashtavatigraha, there are 8 grahas and 8 atigrahas was the answer of Yajnavalkya. Yete ashtagraha, ashtavatigraha, katameta iti. Yajnavalkya, tell me immediately, what are these 8 grahas that you are speaking of and what are the 8 atigrahas? Here, in this section of the Upanishad, we are dealing with a very important subject. By way of the answer Yajnavalkya gives to Artabhaga, the questioner, it is important from the point of view of yoga practice and spiritual meditation. It is not merely a fantastic question. It is a highly philosophical question and has great spiritual import from the point of view of actual practice. Graha means the senses and Atigraha is the object of sense. It is called a graha because it grasps the object. Anything that grasps is called a graha. In Sanskrit, the root grah signifies the action of grasping, grabbing, holding, controlling, etc. As the senses grasp objects, catch hold of them, and make them their own, as they are holding tightly upon the object of sense, the senses are called the grahas. But the objects are called atigrahas. They are the greater graspers than the grasper, the sense himself. Why? If the sense can grasp the object also can grasp the sense. They are like two fighters in a duel. One is catching hold of the other. A does not leave B, B does not leave A. Senses will not leave the object and the object also will not leave the senses. The more the sense grasps the object, the more does the object stir the sense. So there is a mutual action and reaction between the senses and the objects. The senses flare up more and more irritated, angered and strengthened by their catching hold of the object. The strength of the sense increases when it catches hold of the object. And the object, inasmuch as it is capable of energizing the sense further and further, on account of its coming in contact with it, it is called a greater grasper. It grasps the sense itself. So, the grasper is the sense, the organ of action and sensation, and the object thereof is the atigraha. How many are there? 8 are there, says Yajnavalkya. Prano vai graha, the prana grasps. Saha apanena atigrahena grahitaha, apanena hi gandham jigrati. The prana here does not mean merely the process of breathing. it is that vital principle or activity inside by which smell is made possible through the nostrils. The prana functions in an active manner through the nostrils and compels the nose to ask for more and more of odor as its own diet or food. And the apana, which is another function of the vital breath, is the source of the variety of smells which we have in the outer world. It acts like the feelers, as it were, for the varieties of sounds and varieties of odors in the external world. And so the prana and the apana jointly can be regarded as the graha and atigraha. Prana acts upon apana, apana acts upon prana. And it is on account of this mutual action and reaction of prana and apana that we are able to smell and want more and more of smell. Vagvai graha, the speech is another graha. It is also a very simple principle, but very active in its modus operandi in respect of the object. Vagvai graha sa namana atigrahena grahitaha vachahi namani abhivadati. Speech is the repository of all language, all words, all designation, definition, meaning, etc. So, the principle of speech is the graha, which catches hold of the, all the meaning through language. And language is that which stirs a speech by correlative action. So speech and the words that we utter through speech, which means to say everything that we speak, every meaning that we convey through any type of language spoken by word of mouth, that may be regarded as graha, or the counterpart of the graha, which is speech. And likewise, all other senses are grahas, and they have their own objects which stir them into action. Jikva vai graha sa rasena atigrahena grahitaha. The palate, the tongue, which is the instrument of taste, is a graha. It catches hold of all tastes. And the taste is itself an atigraha, because the activity of the palate is increased by the presence of a variety of tastes. It is caught hold of by the taste. If the tongue asks for taste, the presence of taste increases the vitality and energy of the palate so that it gets caught more and more. Jikvaya hi rasan vijanati, because by the palate it is that we are able to taste all delicious things in the world. Chaturvai graha, the eye also is a graha which catches hold of colors and forms. Sa rupena atigrahena grahita, all forms have an impact upon the eye, so that the eyes crave for more and more perception of colors and forms. And so the eyes are never satisfied with perception. Chachutai rupani pasyati. It is by the eyes that you perceive forms, and so the eyes and the forms connected with the eyes are the graha and atigraha. Shrotram vai graha sa shabdena atigrahena grahitaha shrotrena shabdan shrunoti. The ears are the graha. They catch hold of the sounds, and the sounds stir up the activity of the ears, and so we like to hear more and more of sound of variety of nature, because of the fact that ears wish to hear sounds, and sounds stimulate the activity of the ears. They act as graha and atigraha. Mano vigraha sa kamena atigrahena grahita manasahi kaman kamayati. The mind is a graha, which catches hold of all objects of desire, and every fulfillment of desire stirs up the activity of the mind more and more. So the mind and the object of desire act as graha and atigraha. Hastau vigraha, the hand is also a graha which catches hold of things. Sa karmana atigrahena grahita, it is fond of action. It does something or the other. It does not keep quiet. So the urge to act urge to perform karma or work is the atigraha, the counterpart of this very urge itself, which is communicated through the hands, which are the instruments of action. So these are the graha and atigraha. Tvagvai graha, the skin also is a graha. It asks for soft touches, etc. Sparshena atigrahena grahita, all touches stimulate the skin, and the skin asks for touches. Tvachahi sparshan ve veda yata iti ete ashtav graha ashtav atigraha. These are the eight forms of perceptional activity, cognitional activity, the activity of the senses, and the effect that their objects correspondingly have upon themselves. Yajnavalkyeti hovacha yadidam sarvam mrityurannam kasvitsa devata. Yajnavalkya, this activity of the senses is veritably death for them. It is very well known. It is not a good thing for the senses to work in this manner, because they fight with each other. The senses fight with their objects, and the objects fight with the senses in such a way that they kill each other one day or the other. Everything is destructible, everything is subject to death, and nothing can be free from the jaws of death. Yajnavalkya, inasmuch as everything is a food for death, there is no escape from death. Death swallows everybody as if it is food. But is there a death of death? Is there anything of which death itself is the food? Can you tell me who eats death itself? What is that? Which devata, which deity, which god can eat death in the same way as death eats everything? Sarva mrityor annam kasit sa devatayasya mrityuhu annamiti agnirvai mrityuhu sopam annam apa mrupunar mrityum jayati. Yajnavalkya says, my dear friend, you know that there is a death for everything, and one thing can be swallowed by another thing. Fire is an eater of everybody. You can burn and swallow and destroy anything. But fire can be eaten up by water. If you pour heavy quantity of water, fire gets extinguished. So, in the same way as water can be regarded as an eater of death, which is fire, as the eater of all things, there is an eater of death. Impliedly, Yajnavalkya tells that the eater of death is the Supreme Being. Mrityur yasya upasechanam kaitha veda yatra saha. We are told this in the Katha Upanishad. The Supreme Being is the swallower of death. That means to say, one cannot overcome death unless one resorts to the Supreme Being. Not before that can you escape transfiguration. There cannot be freedom from birth and death. There cannot be, therefore, freedom from the consequent sorrow of life until and unless the great reality is realized. So, who is the death of death? Who is the eater of death? The great being, the eternal, the absolute, he is the eater of death, and no one can else eat death. Yajnavalkya iti hovacha yatrayam purusho mriyate udasya prana kramanti. Well, you say there is an eater of death by resort to whom death ceases, as it were, which means to say there is freedom and liberation, emancipation. That is the meaning of freedom from death, which one attains by resort to the eternal reality. What happens to the pranas of this individual when he attains liberation? By freedom from the clutches of the senses and their corresponding objects, grahas and atigrahas, do the pranas of a realized soul depart from the body? Generally, when a person dies, the pranas depart from the body. They go away through ear, nose, head or something. Some passage is opened and the prana goes out And along with the prana, the jiva flies. This is the belief. The soul takes rebirth by means of the aperture created by the prana. So the prana goes, the jiva leaves the body and enters into some other realm. What happens to the prana of the individual who has conquered the onslaught of the grahas and the atigrahas by resort to that which eats up death itself? Does the prana of that person depart the body? Yogasya prana atramanti? Aho neti neti hovacha. No, no, said Yajnavalkya. They do not depart from the body. In the case of the individual who has realized the eternal being, the pranas do not leave the body by any aperture. They do not find an avenue to go out. There is no going out of the prana in the case of a realized soul. There is no out or in for that person. What happens then? Yajnavalkya atraiva samavaniyante, they merge there itself. Inasmuch as the aim and purpose of the realized soul is at the very place where he or she is, there is no need of running to another place to gain what one needs. If what you need is just under your nose, why should you move to a shop or a bazaar? Why do you go to any place if that which you require from that place is just here near you? That which one aims at in realization is just at that very spot where one is. And therefore the prana does not move out. Why does the prana in the case of an ordinary person depart? Because of the desire of the individual to fulfill certain unfulfilled ones, which can be fulfilled only under conditions different from the one in which the body was living previously. And inasmuch as the conditions required to fulfill unfulfilled desires are different from the ones in which one was earlier, there is a necessity to depart from the body. Just as you have to go to Delhi or some place because you want something else from that place which you cannot get here. But if everything is here, you need not move from this place. But he has found everything in the very place where he is. And therefore, the pranas dissolve like a bubble in the ocean there itself. Atraiva samavaniyante sa uchayati admayati atmato mrutashyate. Only the body swells, deteriorates and becomes one with the physical element, the earth. But the prana does not go, the jiva does not depart, there is no movement. Through the planes of existence, as they call, there is no rebirth for that individual because he has attained liberation then and there. This is called sadhya mukti, immediate liberation, very difficult to attain. Only masters can attain such a state. Yajnavalkya iti hovacha yatrayam purusho mriyate kimenam na jahati. Well, you say that the pranas do not depart, they merge there itself, dissolve themselves at the very spot they are. Does anything remain of that person or everything goes? Everything is exhausted or extinguished of that personality? Or do you think something remains of that individual even after the attainment of the liberation, freedom from the atigrahas and atigrahas? Kimenam na jahati nameti. Nothing remains there except his own name. We say, Govinda attained liberation. Let us all, his name will be remembered always. So and so has attained liberation. He has gone to Brahmaloka, he has attained mukti. We speak of him even after he has gone Vasishtha and Vashuka, Vyasa, we speak of them even now. They may be there or may not be there, they might have merged in the absolute, doesn't matter. But their name remains. Nothing remains of them. That is what he means, except a name only. Nameti anantam vai nama. The renown is the only thing that remains, and the renown is ananta. It is expansive. Everywhere it is spoken of because of the glory of that name. Ananta vai vishvedeva. All gods he has become, and he becomes as glorious and famous and renowned as all gods themselves. Anantam eva sadhyana lokam jayati. He has attained to the infinite worlds. What else can remain in his personality? याज्ञवल्क्येति होवाच यत्रास्य पुरुषस्य मृतस्य अग्निम् वागप्येति. नाउ व्हाट हैपेंस टू द इंडिविजुअल एट द टाइम ऑफ द लिबरेशन ऑफ द इंडिविजुअल. सम मिस्टीरियस प्रोसेसेस टेक प्लेस. This individuality is a conglomeration of certain particulars, certain elements taken from the cosmos. This body is made up of certain building bricks got from somewhere else. The body is not a compact, indivisible, single entity. It is a composite substance like a building. What is this building made of? You have got many things in the building. There are bricks, there is mortar, there are iron rods, there are nails, there are wooden rafters and many other things. From where have you got all these things? They have come from various sources. You have got brick from brick kiln, iron from iron merchant and mortar from cement shop and so on and so forth. Likewise, this body of the individual, this individuality has been constituted of various elements. This sense organs also are certain principles which have been taken partly by way of abstraction from the cosmic principles. Then what happens? The building collapses and the material goes back to the source from where it has come. The effect returns to the cause. The body will not remain as an isolated entity. All the constituents of the body will be returned to the sources from where they were brought for the particular purpose of embodiment. Now the question is, Yajnavalkya, I put you a question, Yatrasya Purushasya Mritasya Agrim Vagapyeti. The principle of speech goes back to the fire because it came from fire. Vatam Prana. Prana goes to the cosmic wind. Adityam mana, Chakshur Adityam, the principle of perception, the eye will go back to the sun, who is the presiding deity thereof. Manas Chandram, the mind will go to the moon. Dishashrotram, the ears will go back to the quarters, the big devatas. Prithivim Shariram, this body, the physical parts of the body will go back to the earth, from where they are brought. Atma Aushadhir Lomani. The hairs on the body will go back to the vegetable kingdom. Vanaspatin Kesha, the hairs on the head will go back to the trees. Apsulohitam Charetascha, the vital energy and the blood will go back to the waters. Nidhiyate, Kvayam Tada Purusho Bhavati. If everything goes like this to respective places, where does he rest? What becomes the cause of the rebirth of an individual in case at the time of death the principal elements go back to their source? Except in the case where the individual has attained liberation, there is always rebirth. But you know, body cannot take rebirth. It goes to the earth. It has no life. It dissolves into the material constituent of which it is a part. So the thing that takes rebirth is not the body. And what is it that takes birth? Something is there, a peculiar thing, which becomes the reason for rebirth. It is not something visible. Yajnavalkya, I ask you, what is it really that really takes birth? Which part of the individual is responsible for it? Ahara somya hastam. Yajnavalkya says, I will not answer this question in public. It is a secret. You come with me to a corner. I speak to you secretly what it is. Why should I loudly proclaim this secret? He caught hold of the hand of the questioner and took him to a corner. I tell you what it is. Let not others hear it. Ahara somya hastam artavaga avam eva etasya vedishyava. Only we two know, nobody else will know. Nan navedat Svajana, public may not know it, it is useless to talk about it because it is a controversial element. Nobody will understand what I say if I proclaim it publicly in the audience. Inasmuch as it is not going to be intelligible to the people, its meaning is not going to be clear, and it is only going to confuse them and confound them, I tell you only in your ear, let not others hear it. Tau hotkramya mantrayam chakrate. They went out in the corner and discussed between themselves as to the possibility of various alternatives which may be responsible for the rebirth of an individual. Is it God who is responsible for the rebirth? Some say God is the cause of rebirth. He punishes. Some say time is the cause of rebirth. Some say by accident rebirth takes place. Some say desire is the cause of rebirth. Some say sinful actions are the cause of rebirth. Oh, various theories. Some say no rebirth at all, because the body gets dissolved into the earth and the body is the only thing that is there. Then body goes, everything goes. So many alternatives have been offered by schools of thought, right from materialists onwards. What is the point really? Then Yajnavalkya tells, the Upanishad says, the outcome of their discussion. How they discussed and what they argued about and how they came to the conclusion, all that is not mentioned here. The only conclusion is said, karma hyeva taduchatu. They came to the conclusion, it is karma that is the cause of rebirth. It is very right that Yajnavalkya did not loudly proclaim it, because it is a word whose meaning is not clear. Nobody knows what it means. We have heard this word many times, but its meaning cannot be easily clear. Karma is action. Literally, the dictionary meaning is action. Action causes rebirth. And it is unintelligible because its meaning is something different from what the dictionary meaning of it is. Karma is action, but it is not any and every kind of action that can be regarded as the cause of rebirth. It is a particular type of attitude of the total individual that can be regarded as action. If I lift this watch and keep it back, it is an action. It is very unreasonable to say that this simple act can be the cause of my rebirth. But though it is an action, so it is not every action that is called the cause of rebirth. It is a peculiar type of action. But even the word action is something unintelligible. You cannot understand what action means. If you walk, it is an action. If you eat, it is an action. If you speak, it is an action. If you think also, it is an action. Does it mean that whatever you do becomes the cause of rebirth? If you walk, you will be reborn. If you eat, you will be reborn. If you think, you will be reborn. Then you are only to be reborn again and again. There is no other escape from the process of rebirth if everything that you do is a cause of rebirth. It is very difficult to understand it. It is not that every little bit of movement of your body or every function of the mind is a cause of rebirth. No. It is a particular attitude generated by a preponderating emphasis laid by the whole personality that may be said to be the cause of rebirth. Well, the word desire is a very appropriate term, but even the word desire is difficult to understand. It is not every type of want that causes rebirth. It is a very severe urge of the whole psychophysical personality that can be regarded as the seed of rebirth. We shall not discuss this subject just now in detail. We shall pass on to the actual context of the discussion and go into the details of this subject when we come to it later on. So what I mean to say is, that inasmuch as the word karma is very unintelligible and you cannot understand how karma can cause rebirth, Yajnavalkya did not want to speak loudly about it and privately said, this is the point, nothing else. Karma uchatuhu prashamsatuhu yaduchatuhu karma haiva taduchatuhu atha yad prashasamsatuhu karma haiva tat prashasamsatuhu. Punyo vai punyena karmana bhavati papa papeni titatoha jarat karva artabhaga upar rama. The kind of action that you perform becomes the cause of a kind of life that you are going to enter into in the next birth. A very interesting subject we shall take up another time. Jarat karva kept quiet. His question has been answered. Hari Om Tat Sat.